Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I want to take for a thought this morning, image bearers. Image bearers. Every Christian, really, in fact, every human being is an image bearer. We look at ourselves and we're very critical of ourselves. You know, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too dark, I'm too light, I'm too young, I'm too old. But irrespective of where you fall into that spectrum, you are still an image bearer. God made you in such a way that you carry his image. His image is stamped within you. In the book of Genesis this morning, chapter 1, we're going all the way back to the beginning. Before God made Adam, before he made Eve, he decided this, beginning with verse 25, Genesis 1, 25. God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and the cattle after his kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And then God said, let us make man after our kind. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Let us make man in our image. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning. God, what a privilege, what an honor it is to be a creation that's made in the very image of the Creator. We thank you, Lord, for such a high honor upon our lives. God, we thank you as well for your onward effort to sanctify us, to bring us back to that perfect image consistent with your Son, Jesus Christ. I would ask you this morning that you would help me to pronounce this message in the way that you want it fed to your people. Anoint me, God. Anoint the ears of your people to hear and to understand. Let it lodge in our hearts, God, as we walk out our salvations before you. Father, as we receive our offering today all across the worship room, the online experience, we ask you those lives, God, that support the ministry, that you would bless them, that you would help them, that you would return it upon them. Lord, those that are helping now with the Freedom Project, the free slaves in Pakistan, Lord, we ask you for special grace upon those lives that will support the effort to do the will of God. We pray it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. So God made the cattle. He made the creeping things upon the earth. He made all of the living plants and animals on the earth after their kind. But then he turned around and did something very unique. He said, let us make man. In essence, what he was saying is after our kind. Now, let me say at the outset, you will never be God. Okay, to be God, you have to be eternal, and all of us have a beginning. You will never be God. You will always be a creation. But mankind, unlike all other creation, has a special place with God. We are the highest creation that he has made. When he made the animals and the vegetation, he just spoke the word. But when he made man, he formed man himself. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. But more importantly this morning is he made you in his image. Now understand what that means and what it doesn't mean. God is a spirit. The scripture says God is invisible. That means when it says you're made in his image, it doesn't mean that you physically look like him because, again, God is invisible. As a matter of fact, the word image here, as you go back into the original language, the word image really means he made you as his representative on this planet. That's what Adam was. When it says he made you in his likeness, it doesn't mean his physical likeness. It means that you have a consistency with God in your ability to understand his morality, to communicate with his spirit, and to walk in intellect before him. If you look at all the other animals, the animals on the planet, they don't even know God is. If you got a dog or a cat at home, that cat, dog, it has no understanding that there is a God. We take it for granted because we've always known, because when you were born, his image was already in you and you grew up in the image of God. So we take it for granted, but there is no other creation that has, that can be made a partaker of his divine nature. That's how consistent we are with him. He made us that way because he wanted image bearers. He wanted those who were made, he wanted a creation made in his image. But of course we know that some say within 40 days of him making Adam and Eve, before they had their first child, Satan came into the garden. And he caused Adam to sin, Adam and Eve to sin, and it defiled the likeness of God in them. We, all people, unsaved people, they still have the image of God in them. That's why God said, thou shalt do no murder. Because that person was created in the image of God. You'll notice he never says, thou shalt not kill a goat. Thou shalt not kill a lamb. He doesn't say that. But not man, because man bears his image. And so the image of God was defiled in original sin. And so today, we still have the image, but we don't have the likeness. Our likeness with God has been twisted and perverted. Instead of moving towards righteousness and holiness, without salvation, we move towards sin and iniquity. The image, the likeness of God has been twisted. And so then we see in Genesis chapter 5, we see where this is made evident. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. So let's understand, it's not just men who carry the image of God. Women carry the image of God because it's not a physical image, a physical likeness. It's the internal morality, the ability to communicate with him, the intellect to understand the things of God. Isn't it amazing? The whole universe is based on mathematics. They can use mathematics and they can tell you a star that's 25 billion light years away. They can tell you the chemicals that that star is made out of through mathematics. And yet, in the human mind, we have the ability to understand mathematics. Your dog doesn't have that. Your cat doesn't have that. Only God, our only man. So he created man in the likeness of God, made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day they were created. Of course, we understand the fall occurred, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called him Seth. Now, do you see that? Adam was created in the image of God, but after the fall, he didn't produce children in the image of God. He produced children in his own sinful image and after his own wicked likeness. And you and I, all of us, we are his children. And when you got here, you were created, you were brought here in the image of Adam, not the image of God. But when you were born again, it starts that long process of what we call sanctification. Sanctification is you being conformed back into the image of God. God told Jeremiah, he said, go to the potter's house and I'll send my word unto you. And so Jeremiah went to the potter's house and he saw a potter working a work on the wheel. But he said, but it was marred in the potter's hands. See, that's what happened to the human race. We are marred in the potter's hands right after creation. And so when Jeremiah says that, he made it another pot, another vessel. Meaning that God is starting over with you and I. And he's conforming us back. As we cooperate and let him, he's conforming us back to his perfect image. That's what sanctification is. Let me make it more plain. Before you got saved, you were probably sexually wicked. That's very common now. But then when you got saved, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit started to constrain your actions. And he started bringing you back into alignment with his morality so that the things that you used to do and you used to love to do and were even an advocate for, all of a sudden those things, you turn away from them because you're being conformed back to the image of God. And why is he doing that? Because he needs image bearers. He needs representatives of God that are on this planet who have his likeness, his moral code stamped upon their hearts. And more we move towards that. This has been the whole purpose of God the whole time. It's the whole reason for the cross. He wanted a creation that was like him, that represented him on this planet. Now, saints, that has huge, huge implications for you and I concerning the future. See, many of us, we don't take our sanctification, we don't take it serious. You know, we dilly-dally around, we slip and dip and do what we want to, and we don't really let him put the constraints upon our lives to cause us to walk tight with him. And about for a lot of us, the tightest we ever get is Sunday morning sitting in church where you can't sin. But the image of God is in you when you're alone. The image of God is in you in times of temptation. As a matter of fact, that's when you really find what you got. Amen. Is that when you're by yourself and the temptation is hot, whatever that it might be, that's when you find out how much of his image you're really carrying. And you find out how much of sanctification has really worked in you. Don't get discouraged with yourself. Just take your sanctification seriously. That God, I've got to walk tighter. I've got to do better. Grow me up. Grow me up. And here's what you do. When you fall short, and all of us fall short, immediately after you fall short, you turn your heart to God and say, God, what I did was wrong. I agree with your word. Your word said what I did is wrong. You say what I did is wrong. And I say what I did is wrong. I agree with you. I need you to help me and strengthen me that I don't disappoint you again. As one commentator said, look away from your 10,000 failures and look to your high priest. The scripture says this, whom he did foreknow. Foreknow means the foreknowledge of God before you were born. He knew that you were going to respond to the cross. I did also predestine. Who I did foreknow, I did also predestine. I gave them a destiny before they ever began walking in it. Whom I did foreknow, I did also predestine to be conformed to what? To the image. To the image of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to this planet, he was the full likeness and image of God. The Hebrew writer said he is the express image of God, even the brightness of his glory. Jesus is exactly what God's trying to make out of you and me. Now, the only difference is Jesus is deity, being an eternal being. You or I will never be that. But we can walk in his likeness. The Holy Spirit is working day and night inside of you. He's convicting, he's encouraging, he's directing, he's guiding to get you more and more in line with who Jesus is and walking in him, walking his image, walking his likeness. This is what he's always been doing. And saints, it's of the utmost importance that we allow the Holy Spirit to do what he's doing. The scripture tells of what a parable that Jesus told, but I believe it's more than a parable. I believe it's a prophecy. He said the man was going to a far country to get a kingdom for himself. And before he left, he gave all of his servants 10 talents, gave them all the same. And he went to a far country, and when he came back, he came to his servants to see how they had used the talents or the resources that God had given them. God's given each one of us resources. You have a body that is able to interact with this physical world. You have a mouth that's able to talk about Jesus. You have a heart that's able to exude worship towards him. You have a life in which you can live as a light of this world for other people to see Christ in you. He gave all of them 10 talents, and he came back and he asked the first one, "What have you done with the talents I gave you?" And the first one said, "Well, I've taken your talents, I've invested them," meaning that I've used them and they've increased. He said, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in little. Therefore, I'm giving you much. I'm giving you 5 cities." You remember that? I believe the first one was 10 cities. Then he came to the second one and said, "Master, I've invested what you've given me, and I've made more, 5 talents more," whatever that it was. He said, "Well done, I put you over 5 cities." That is a picture of the millennial reign. Those who are faithful to be an image bearer, to walk consistent with who God is, as a representative of God on this planet, in the millennial reign, right after the tribulation period, when Christ sets up the millennial reign, he will rule this world with a rod of iron, but his image bearers will work under his commandments to make sure that the planet is governed correctly. See, we look at now, we say these clowns in D.C., they can't get nothing right, they can't get nothing done. But one day God's got his own image bearer who he has conformed to his image, who are going to run the world under the headship of Jesus Christ. That's why you have to learn to be faithful. Now, this gets right down into our lives. If you can't tithe, it means you're still greedy. It means that you're not faithful. If you still cheat on your taxes, it means you're the same as the politicians in D.C. God can't trust you because you'll steal it. It means you're the same as Judas Iscariot, who he gave the honor to hold the bag, but he wouldn't hold the bag. He kept embezzling the money from Jesus Christ. He needs people that are going to be faithful when nobody's watching. He needs people that's going to be faithful when nobody knows. I know what I'm talking about. For 30 years now, I've pastored this church. I set up the processes, how all the money is collected and the double checks that we do to make sure not one single penny can leave this ministry. And over 30 years, I can stand before God and say, not one time have I ever touched his gold. Not one time have I ever touched his money. Not because I didn't need some, but because he's raising up people that represent him. And my view is not to this world and this world's goods. My view is towards that time during the millennial reign and even the golden age when he needs people that that he can depend on. Image bearers. See, Christ's likeness means being like Christ. It doesn't mean coming to a worship room on Sunday morning and singing hymns. That's wonderful to do that. I'm going to continue doing that. But Christ's likeness means that when nobody's looking, I'm still representing Christ in everything that I do. My wife and I, we sometimes, when we counsel people, marriages, we explain to them that one of the things that we do is we both have an app on our phone. We used to use, I think it was called Life 360, and we changed over. We use Google now anyway. Whenever I pull up my phone, I can look on that app, and I can see wherever Sister Lincoln's at, no matter where she is. She can pull up that phone anytime. She can see wherever I'm at. Is he going to be home soon? Oh, no, he's somewhere else. And so when you're living before God, she told me the other day, she said, I pulled up the app to see where you's at. I said, baby, you know I'm always where I'm supposed to be. It don't matter when you look for me. I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Now, I'm slick enough that I could trick Sister Lincoln because I know technology. But I can't trick God. And so I'm always where I need to be, where I'm supposed to be. He's looking for image bearers. He wants people who represent him on this planet, who are consistent with his morality, can understand his intellect, and knows his ways, who are like him. As a matter of fact, what God did right out of the gate, as soon as the fall, not as soon as the fall, but shortly after the fall, he called Moses to the mountaintop and he gave him 10 commandments. And commandment number 2, thou shalt make no graven image. Why? Because it's a placeholder for you and I. You and I are his images. He doesn't want another one. He definitely don't want one made with hands. But he has already made a place for you and I to walk out as his image bearers. In the book of Luke, I already preached that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Now, this is at the end of the tribulation period. Tribulation has already ended. And we're getting ready to go into the golden age, the eternity future, if you will. But this passage I'm going to read regards the millennial period. It's a 1,000-year reign with Christ. And let me slow down and explain what this is. The tribulation has occurred. Many people have given their sales to the mark of the beast and to the, catch this now, they have followed the image of the beast. You see that? The image of God, the image of the beast. And they have secured themselves a place in eternal damnation. But at no time is the entire population of this planet given over to Satan worship. There are people who will run to the mountains, run to rural places where they can't be found, that will eke out a living during this 7-year period. And so when the tribulation is over, there are people on this planet that never gave themselves to the mark of the beast, but they were also not part of the rapture of the church. Are you with me? So they don't have glorified bodies. So as we move into the millennial, those people begin to repopulate the earth just as Noah did when he got off the boat with just everyday human beings. But at that time, every Christian is no longer an everyday human being that was in the resurrection of life. We now have glorified bodies made like unto his glorious body. We have incorruptible bodies. So God has taken the human race, and there's the resurrected ones that have eternal life, and they're still regular human beings going into the millennial reign. Are you with me? So then this scripture says in Revelation 20, verse 4, John says, I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. Now that's us. We are represented in the book of Revelation by the 24 elders who sit on thrones, who wear white linen, the righteousness of Christ. And then in addition to that, he says, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Those are those who are killed during the tribulation period. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or upon their hands. And these two groups, the resurrected saints that were part of the resurrection of life, and those who were killed during the tribulation, they lived, and what's that next word? And they reigned. That means they ruled. The word reign, it means to exercise royal authority as a king. They reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is why you got to take your sanctification seriously. If you can't be faithful in little, you're definitely not going to be faithful in much. With the resources God given you, and I'm sorry, I got to keep jumping on this. If you can't tithe with the little bitty nothing you got now, how in the world are you going to honor God if he gives you 10 cities? If he gives you much? It says they lived and they reigned under the headship of Christ. Understand that you and I will never reign without Christ. He is our head. He is our master and our king. But he's given us such a position of honor that we bear his image. I don't know how much this played into the fall of Lucifer. But I have a notion that when Lucifer saw that God was investing so much within creation, and he was the most beautiful of the angels, I think he wanted more. And although we've gone through the fall, we've gone through all the dark wickedness in our lives, God is picking us up out of the mud. He's shining us off. He's cleaning us up. And he's setting up us in a high place just under his son, Jesus Christ. These are my image bearers. Don't that make you want to be faithful? Don't that want to just make you, God, I just want to be whatever that you're calling me to be. I want to be that thing. So then we see for 1,000 years after the tribulation, the image bearers will reign under the headship of this, on this planet, under the headship of Christ. There won't be a senator. There won't be a prime minister or a president. They'll just be the Jesus people. And we will be noticeably different than the rest of the population of this planet because the glory of God, first of all, our bodies are incorruptible. Our bodies don't get sick. We have been split into a different creation than what regular human beings are. In other words, because of the fall in the garden, you and I now have access to be what Adam could never have been. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? Image bearers. So when sanctification begins to take its toll on my life and I realize, hey, I can't do that. I can't be that. I realize that the glory of what God has given me is not worthy to be compared to that that he's taking away. I'm going to move with him. Here's how it breaks down into our life. I don't care what wicked program they put on television. I have no need for that. All I can see is my King. My whole world is full of him. I search the scriptures. I search the scriptures relentlessly because I need to know more about this one whom I serve. He is the fairest of 10,000s. There's not one in Hollywood like this one. They can have all their red carpet events. They can do all their designer clothes. But there's not one whose train is filled with glory. Hallelujah. And as big and as beautiful, as glorious as he is, he made me, little lowly me, in his image. And all I have to do is cooperate. Not fight against him, but God, just move me, put me where you want me to be. And whatever I have to go through to be what you are is necessary for me. I want to be his image bearer. So for 1,000 years we reign under Christ, based on your sanctification, based on your walk now. I didn't finish the parable because it's very harsh. When it says that he gave the second one and he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He went to the last one. He said, I took that you gave me and I hid it in a napkin because I knew you were an austere man and you reap what you didn't sow. And God says, you wicked servant. Why did he say that? Because you operated based on your character. And you never even realized who I was. You saw me, my character, as something other than what it is. And if I remember the scripture correctly, he said, bind him hand and foot. No, he said, bring him here and slay him in my presence. Right in front of me. So you don't want to fail in your sanctification. And I know we've got the doctrine that once saved, always saved. I don't know. Show me the verse. Show me the verse. Because Judas wasn't once saved, always saved. Adam wasn't once saved, always saved. And when he said all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, that means all liars. And so that means that if the righteous do scarcely make it in, you don't just wobble in with all your mess. You're just scarcely making it in. Then where does the unbeliever stand? So quickly, I've got to rush here. I'm out of time. So Revelation 22:5, this is after the millennial reign. Now we're looking out into the golden age, eons of time without end, eternity as the ages roll out one after another. millions, perhaps billions of years into the future. Revelation 22 and 5 says, there shall be no night there. This is on this planet. The golden city has come down. And Christ, God, changes heaven from where it was to this planet. He abides now on this planet in the golden age. There shall be no night there, and need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God doth give them light. And they, this is speaking of his image bearers, who we are the ones who will live in the golden city, his image bearers, and the angels will guard the gates. I'm preaching Bible to you. And they shall reign, there it is, to exercise royal authority as a king forever. Oh, and ever. They shall reign forever and ever. And of course, we understand this is under the headship of our Lord Jesus Christ. So your sanctification now is training to carry the image of God, public and private, and to allow the Holy Spirit to conform you to the image of Christ, who is the perfect expression of the character of God. That's what your sanctification is. As the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit are the characteristics of the personality of God. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to move you into that direction, you're walking more and more in Christ-likeness. And so every time that you walk in un-Christ-likeness, check yourself quickly. Check yourself and repent of that thing quickly and ask God, Lord, help me. I want to do better. All you have to do is want to do better. He'll do it in you. He'll do it in you. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you. What an honor you have bestowed upon this fallen creation. Lord, that even after the fall, you have purposed yourself that you would not only redeem us, but God, you would take us back to the position you had for us in the beginning. Lord, that we might bear your image and your likeness, that we might be conformed to the perfect image of the one who is the express image of the invisible God. Help us today, Lord, to no longer lean into our own understanding, but to allow you to make the changes in our hearts and in our lives, in our life and our living, that we might be consistent as image bearers, that we might be faithful in that you've called us to be. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning? All over the room. And you know where you're at in your life. Just reach out to God right now. Just under your breath, just begin to talk to God. Father, we just ask you, Lord, we want to bear your image. We want to be in your perfect likeness. Change us, oh God. Sanctify us holistically. Every aspect of our life, focus on the things you feel need to be focused on and not just the things that we're embarrassed by. God, fix us. Change us by your power, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, change us. Come on, just reach out to God this morning. Let him hear your voice. Let him hear your voice.
Thank you, Heavenly Father God. Thank you for the word that you have sent on this morning, Lord, just reminding us that we are called to be your image bearers, Lord God. And so, God, as we get ready to leave this place, but never your heart, Lord, God, we just pray that everything that you've downloaded into Pastor, that he's poured out today, Lord, that we would take it with us, that we would leave it in our hearts and that we would give it to somebody else, oh God. God, we thank you for those who are online, who are hearing this word, those who are here, those who could not be here today. We just say thank you, Lord, for each and every one of them. But help us to be reminded, God, that we carry your word, that we carry your spirit, and that we are image bearers for you. And so, God, we honor you. We love you and we lift you up. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, we pray and ask these things. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for today? My goodness, we are image, God, y'all, we are image bearers for Christ. And we ought to take that word with us as we leave here today. We have just a few announcements here. Just please remember to support the ministry, the Freedom Project that was announced last week. And please be reminded that there's no Bible class on Wednesday. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back the following Wednesday to dig into Ephesians. And last but not least, the Money and the Master Seminar is September 19th from 10 a.m. to noon. Everybody got it? All right. Thank you. Have a blessed day. You are now dismissed. Amen.